said, hey, hey, how you doing? Time for a brand new day. Get up, get out, let's get happy. Start your day with Cliffo and Gabby.
And Gabby, yesterday about lunchtime, I was hit with the harsh reality and realization that I am not a cool man.
You only just figured that out.
I'm an uncool man.
Oh.
I think deep down all of us uncool people think we're cool from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
Then something hits us and we're like, yeah, we're not cool.
Yeah, occasionally you just get that false sense of security. Then you're just like, ah, wait, smack me down.
Slaps you in the face like a wet fish. It happened down the Strand. And what made me realize that I was uncool was that I realized that a thing that I thought was not a thing anymore is still a thing.
Mm.
And that thing is Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go?
Oh, I remember it, but I feel like you shouldn't be basing your coolness on Pokemon Go.
Very good point. Really good point. I didn't really hop on the Pokemon Go.
Oh, I
did. I caught one or two and then I went,
One of mine and Nev's first dates was me chasing Pokemon.
Oh, God, and you're judging my coolness.
That's how
you use Pokemon Go to snag a fiancé.
I caught a fiancé.
Amazing.
Got to catch them all.
That's right. So my family and I, we went down the Strand yesterday for a bit of a family fish and chips thing. So we were near Strand Park, you know where the kiosk is, the fishing jetty and stuff.
Good fish and chips.
Brilliant. We're just sitting back there. We had the fish and chips and ice cream and stuff on a picnic blanket. It was amazing. But there were literally hundreds of people out catching Pokemon. Hundreds of them. You could tell because they were herding. They moved in herds.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. And some of them even had multiple phones.
Wow.
There's one guy who had three phones, which I thought was incredible.
I think that's a bit silly. You want to compile them all into the one, don't you?
Is that how it works?
Well, you don't want to share them around.
I don't really know how it works, but he had a couple of phones. But yeah, and you know, we were sort of looking at it. And I actually said to Michelle, good on him, because a lot, like, I don't want to generalize, but when I think of, you know, people playing Pokemon Go, whatever, I would associate that with video game people and maybe locked in dark rooms and that. But instead, you had all these people out socializing together, walking the Strand on a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Sure, they had their face buried in a phone.
But at least they're in the sunshine.
But it did get me thinking, though, like hundreds of people out together, heads down, not talking and walking in herds. That's the closest to the Walking Dead I am ever going to get.
Get up with Cliffo and Gabby on Hit 103.1.
Talking money is pretty uncomfortable, can be a little bit awkward. Sometimes it's a bit of a touchy subject, especially when you're in a relationship and you're trying to figure out who pays what, where you split things down the middle. And
You're so right. It shouldn't be weird.
But it is.
I think that's what, like, the barefoot investor says. Like, money conversations, particularly when you're in a committed relationship, should not be weird, awkward conversations.
No.
But they are. They really are. They can be.
They can be uncomfortable, yeah, and confronting sometimes. Mm. But my partner and I, Nev, we've figured out a pretty good system where we pretty much pay everything smack bang down the middle. Recently, he's agreed to start paying half of the dog food bill because now that we're engaged, he's adopted the dog officially. So
that'd be expensive too. Only the best for Bear the Chihuahua.
Yeah, you're right. But everything else, like rent, groceries, everything has always been pretty fairly split. But then when we did get engaged recently, Nev turned to me and said, okay, so do we have to do joint bank accounts now?
Yeah,
and right. I was like, oh, whoa, something I've never thought of, I've never considered, and I don't think I want to go down the road of, because I really enjoy having my financial freedom.
Yeah.
Like, I know I have to put money aside for bills and I've got savings there for the wedding and all that kind of stuff, but my play money, I don't necessarily need him to see what I spend that on.
You know what? If my wife and I were to do that, because we've been married for, well, it's coming up to our third wedding anniversary. Probably should know that off the top of my head. We've been married for a lot of
three.
Years.
Yeah, you said three.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
We've been together for a long time, Gabby. We've never had joint bank accounts.
Really?
And I think for that exact reason, I think that would cause like blues.
Well, yeah, if you see on the bank statement, for example, Nev spent $150 on a new game the other day.
Yeah.
Like a PlayStation game. I don't know what console he has, but something like that. And if I was seeing that on the bank records when we're saving for a wedding, I'd be like, What are you doing, mate?
I like how you use his frivolous spending as the example.
Well, he's probably listening. I don't want him to know what I'm spending
money
on.
I totally relate to that. Don't get me wrong. We have some savings accounts that we both put into.
Yes, same.
Like if we're going on a holiday or, you know, and we share the one credit card. We just got one credit card.
Sure.
But when it comes to our like day-to-day banking and stuff, we've got happily separated bank accounts.
I like that. I really like that. So, but I was thinking, because you obviously don't do it. You don't do joint bank accounts. And thinking into the future, I'm like, is it necessary? So 13, 12, 16, are joint bank accounts still a thing? Because back in the day, you did it.
Oh, mate.
It was just, expected that you would join everything together.
For example.
Yeah, as soon as you got married or maybe even before that, it all became one. And I guess when you're on maternity leave, maybe it would be an easier solution. I don't know, but 13, 12, 16.
Yeah, my wife's on maternity leave and I haven't felt the need. But look, 13, 12, 16, like, are you recently married in, I don't know, the last few years or whatever?
5 years will go.
Are you looking to get married or whatever? Like, do Gabby and Nev have to team up their bank accounts or whatever?
Is it a thing?
Yeah, a joint bank account still a thing in 2019?
Are there pros to doing it?
Does it really matter? Because none of us have any money anyway. So.
That's true.
13, 12, 16, Jamie's here. Mate, a joint bank account still a thing?
Yeah, they are. Well, with my partner and I, we are renting, but we just have a joint bank account for our togetherness bills.
Yes.
Okay.
So you don't join everything. You've just got that one account for splitting bills and whatnot.
Or for savings for like a house and stuff, it's togetherness, but... Yeah. Just for our bills that are together, we both transfer money into that, and then it gets direct debited out of that.
Perfect.
For the bill.
But then for your everyday spending, that's just yours, yeah?
Yeah, and I'd hate to look at what my partner
exactly.
Did.
Yes,
see,
I agree.
See, I take that call as a no, like joint. Because I think what we want to know is joint bank accounts. Yeah, everything is the
everything
one.
Everything is the one.
Yeah, I couldn't handle that. 13, 12, 16. Hey, who's this?
It's Jay.
Hey, Jay, a joint bank account still a thing? Do you do it?
No. My husband and I have been married for almost 11 years now. He has access to my account. I have access to his. Like, we've both got cards for each other's accounts. So there's no point in a joint account. We spend money on what we need to, and anything over $100 we consult each other about.
Oh, that's a good rule. That's a good idea to have that.
That's a really good idea.
Every time I got my hair done, though, I'd have to get permission.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm willing to do that.
Mutually agree.
A problem men don't have.
Get up with Cliffo and Gabby on Hit 103.1.
Gabs, two NRL records yesterday were made, and not good ones. The Broncos' biggest ever loss.
Yeah.
And the biggest ever loss in a rugby league finals game. The Broncos went down to the Eels, 58-0.
How crazy is that?
58-0.
Yeah, the biggest loss in NRL history, right?
Yeah, biggest loss in NRL history. And the Broncos' biggest loss ever. They just kept scoring and scoring and scoring. So for comment, we thought we'd go to a former Cowboys player and Broncos legend, Ben Hanna, on the phone right now. Benny, what went wrong, man?
Oh, everything went wrong. I guess from the very first kickoff, all the possession went the way of Parramatta. They had the home ground advantage. It was just really disappointing just the way that Brisbane really gave up that second half. And when you look at the stats at the end of the day, not one Brisbane Broncos, and they got the biggest forward pack in the competition, not one of them ran for 100 metres, which in a semi-final game of footy, that's really not acceptable.
Well, that's the thing. Hey, it was a semi-final. Like, how can you have such a loss in a semi-final? That's crazy.
Well, there's only 13 players on the field at one time. Both teams have the exact same advantage. No one got sent off. It's just they wanted it more, Parramatta. They put the effort in. They ran harder. And the stats showed they just got dominated all the way around the park.
Cliffo's sitting here pretending like he's actually really interested to know what went wrong. But seriously, he's so happy about this.
I'm not a Broncos supporter. That is for damn sure. Who's your tip now, Benny? Because I think I'm putting my money on the Raiders now. On the green machine.
On the Raiders, Raiders will go all right. But Parramatta went really well as well. But I think... still, the favourites to go back-to-back again. I think it's a new season semi. Once the semi-finals start kicking in, it's like a whole new competition. And the Roosters, the way they put the Rabbitohs to bed on Friday, I think they're still the team to beat. So I put my money on the Roosters, but it'd be awesome to see the Raiders or Parramatta take out the premiership.
God, it'd be good to see the Raiders win. Woo!
All right, he's a former Bronco, a former Cowboy as well. We love him. Benny Hannett, thank you for the wrap, mate.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Get up. with Cliffo and Gabby.
On Hit 103.1.
Gabs, have you heard of Scamp the Tramp before?
No.
Scamp the
Tramp. Is that
Tramp.
A person?
Scamp the Tramp is the world's ugliest dog. This is actually a thing. It happened not too long ago, just a few weeks ago in California. But they do this annually. They've been doing it since like the early noughties, since like 2001, 2002. But it's an annual contest to find the ugliest dog in America. The winner scores $1,000 and a trophy.
Let me guess. Scamp the Tramp's a chihuahua.
Scamp the Tramp has, I'm going to show you a photo. I don't know. Scamp the Tramp is a bitzer, as I think most of the dogs who
would win. Oh, yeah. Wouldn't be a purebred, hey.
No. But it looks like there may be a bit of, I don't know, something.
Oh,
little?
I reckon there's a bit of multi shih tzu in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something. But you know what? It's not a chihuahua, and that makes me very happy because a lot of the past winners have been chihuahuas, and it
upsets you as
a
proud
a bad
chihuahua
name
owner.
To chihuahuas. They're not all ugly, I swear.
Bear your chihuahua is a very cute chihuahua. Yeah. But there's something inherently a bit ugly about the chihuahua, I think.
No.
Yeah.
They've got like weird little googly
they're
eyes.
Gorgeous,
and
but they're just not.
Sometimes, like the short haired breeds are a little more weird looking, like alien like than the long haired.
Look, the dog you love's ugly. Just
no, I will
just
not accept,
accept
that.
It, all right? But Scamp, he's a bitzer from Compton. He has bug eyes, his owner says. This is his owner's description.
Okay.
He's got bug eyes. He's got an underbite, like a lot of dogs have that. And he's got brown and grey unkempt hair, and he is just all over
the shop. Well, whose fault is that it's unkempt hair?
Yeah, well.
The owner's like, he's so ugly. Look how messy his hair is.
The owner didn't roll him in the other dog's crap, Gabby. I think that was all Scamp's doing. But it was quite the event this year. Like I said, the winner of the World's Ugliest Dog every year scores $1,000 and a trophy. There was a special guest judge this year. John, he was a celebrity judge. John Provost. You ever heard of him?
Who was that?
He was Timmy from the 50s TV show Lassie.
Oh, wow. They are scraping the bottom of the barrel
really
there.
They really are. But, yeah, like I said, I was just scrolling across my feed and I saw this photo. And it's hard to scroll past the photo of Scamp because he's such an ugly dog. But you know what I take out of that, though? Even though, like, his owner describes him as bug eyes, when you zoom in and stuff and look at him, he's actually, like, although he's ugly as, he's actually gorgeous.
I feel
when you look at those eyes, the friendly, is there anything more beautiful than the friendly eyes of a dog?
And that's the thing. No matter how ugly a dog is, you can still love them.
I want to love them.
Because they've still got this great little attitude to life.
He's the ugly. It's like looking at a foot and falling in love with it. He's the ugliest thing ever.
Get up with Cliffo and Gabby on Hit 103.1.
All right, guys, it's the 16th of September and Christmas decorations are already going up in stores. It was actually a full week ago that I saw them setting up the Christmas display in Myer at Stockland.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what? And they had it all
Myer loves to jump on board early.
Yeah, it wasn't set up completely yet, but on the weekend I was back there and it's ready to go. You can purchase all your Chrissy decorations months in advance and get prepared.
I saw it, Coles, Star and Gower, just quickly, two Gabs, fruit mince pies and puds.
Oh, they're
so
getting ready.
Your Christmas puds on sale already.
Don't start the Christmas diet yet because you'll be the size of Santa by the time Christmas
got news
rolls
for you, darling.
Around.
I already am.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, ting.
I am the biggest Christmas advocate. I love Christmas. It's my favourite time of year. My mum is obsessed. She decorates the entire house, and I mean goes all out. Like, she has so many decorations she can't buy anymore because they won't fit.
Well, last year when we did the Willows Christmas Parade at work here, they were finding Christmas outfits for all of us.
Oh, yeah.
And you were like, no, don't worry. I've got my own.
I have a couple.
And you came. Like, you were the most Christmassy out of all of us.
Yeah. I have a full Christmas dress with the Santa and sleigh riding across
amazing.
The skirt. It's amazing. Yeah, I'm very Christmassy. But I found this article today that has kind of I think caught me off guard because I'm not in agreement, which might surprise you, because the article is that putting up Christmas decorations early can make you happier. So they're saying that if we put up Christmas decorations now, it'll actually extend the excitement and the joy of Christmas.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, they're saying putting up decorations is an anchor to your childhood magic, emotions and excitement and all that kind of stuff. But
and you want to stop people from having all that joy in their life.
I do. I totally disagree with this because the magic of Christmas is that it happens for 1 month, which means it's this condensed month of excitement. If you start extending those parameters parameters out till September. You're diluting the excitement. And yeah, you might be happy, but you're not going to be as happy as if it's only for a month, because then you've only got 4 weeks to celebrate. So it's like even more heightened. If you're diluted over 6 months,
you believe that Christmas is like the joy of Christmas, or the great aspects of Christmas or whatever, is because it is condensed into 1 month rather than watered down over like 4 months if you will start celebrating
if
now.
If you only celebrate for December, it is 1 month of pure and absolute magical joy. If you start diluting it over 6 months, it's not special anymore.
Okay.
So stop with the decorations, stop with the mince pies, save it till the 1st of December, and then we can all be happy then.
That is the final word, everyone, from the Christmassiest Grinch in Townsville, Gabby Ogre.